Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
All righty. Well, I hope you enjoyed the praise and worship part of the service. Anyway, well, let's get into a couple messages that I got to offer tonight. I'm going to be going from Genesis to Deuteronomy, okay? Genesis 22, verse 2. Take me now, your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. A burnt offering is the only offering where the entire sacrifice was laid upon the altar. Nothing was withheld from the fire, and it was offering that was voluntarily. It was an offering made not only of duty or command, but from a heart that desired to do so. A free will that wanted to keep nothing for itself. God had called Abraham to do the unthinkable, to offer freely his only son, all of him upon the altar of the Lord. A son that God knew Abraham loved dearly, for he acknowledges this in his words to him. If God knew that Abraham loved his son, then why would God ask such a thing of him? Did he expect Abraham to offer his only son up so freely, without question, without reservation? How could God demand such a gift to be given and require such a price to be paid? Was God cruel in his request? Did he care what pain it would bring to Abraham's heart? Our greatest battles are not those we fight with the devil, but those we fight with God himself. What a torment of soul must have fell upon Abraham as God's words descended upon him. This was no ordinary son. He was given to Abraham in his old age, and at the word of God, through the descendants of Isaac, God would send his only son, Jesus, and offer him up as an offering for the sin of all mankind. God understood what was at stake, and he knew the cost. The plans were already in motion. Abraham would come to understand the depth of the cost of God's love and the painful ascent up the mountain in order to offer up his most precious possession. What would have been your answer to God that day? Would you have made the trek willingly to the place where you knew where you would lose your only child? Abraham trusted God beyond emotions, above any cost, beyond the present and into the future. Obedience will always be a struggle on any level if we do not trust the one who's calling us to it. It was not Isaac that God desired to have freely and wholly. It was Abraham. When we are willing to give to God our most precious possessions, then God knows he has our heart. God wants our affections and our allegiance, our trust, our hope, and above all, our love. He doesn't want the leftovers. He wants the first servings. We are his burnt offering, dear one, freely laying our very heart upon his altar, that we may have all. And when we are found there, laid freely without reservation upon his altar, we see his love as never before. So burnt offerings are rare because they are costly, but on the beauty that is revealed in the fire of their giving. So bring forth your glory on the fire, O Lord. Amen. Now let's go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 3. And he shall say to him, Hear, O Israel, you are approaching the battle against your enemies today. Do not be faint-hearted, do not be afraid or panic or tremble before them. So when we find ourselves in a difficult place, even if we believe with all of our faith, one can have proclaiming God makes no mistakes, and that he is on his throne, panic will always be readily available response. We are brought to a difficult places in our lives, oftentimes to be given the opportunity to realize that the Lord either placed us there himself, allowed us to be there for reasons that may not be obvious, for the reasons reserved for God's understanding only. Occasionally, heaven affords us with rare gift, a priceless encounter with God himself, when he leads us into the very heart of an impossible passage, moments unmistakably orchestrated by the hand of providence. Even though we may find ourselves in an impossible situation, we can confidently know that we will be there with God, who does the impossible. He precedes us, pouring out all that we need before even we arrive, so that when we do, we are walking right into his presence. His arms and mighty provisions, we know with all confidence of heaven that God will never put his children in a place where his presence cannot or will not sustain them. In Genesis 35, verse 3, Jacob recounts God, saying, I will make an altar there to God who answered me the day of my distress and has been with me wherever I've gone. Jacob could attest to God's provision because in the day of his distress, God answered him. He had a choice to make in the day of his distress and the day of the impossible passage, prayer, or panic. We can understand from the text that because God answered Jacob, he must have cried out to him for help. Before God can answer, we have to call on him. The psalmist wrote, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of the distresses. He caused the storm to be still so that the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad because they were quiet, so he guided them to the desired haven. That's Psalms chapter 107, verses 28 to 30. So panic will only yield to anxiousness, fear, and inevitably regrets from words spoken, action taken, or decisions made in chaos or of our emotions. Panic is not the friend of faith. The two are not the same page with God. Panic runs faith praise. When we choose to carry out to God speaking words of truth into our hearts and mind of what we know to be real about him, something miraculous begins to happen in our fear goes away to authority of our faith commanding our emotions to be still. As our faith rises within us, we find ourselves willing and able to wait on God in full assurance, absolute trust, and security in his love for us. Warren Wiersbe said, a faith that has not been tested cannot be trusted. The longer we walk this journey of faith with God, we will find him more faithful with each and every new place he brings us to. He lovingly teaches us through every difficulty of life that we can absolutely trust him even when we don't understand. He lovingly tries us with the kind of intention to increase our faith and prove himself to us upon the platform that trials present in our life. And when the stage is set, the spotlight is shown, and the onlookers have gathered for the scene that is about to be played out in your life, you have two choices. You can either panic or pray. Anyone can panic, but prayer requires a choice to trust in a God who has never been tried and found wanting, never discovered the unable or unfaithful. Prayer is spoken faith which has found its heartbeat in a promise given by God. So whatever you're facing today or may find yourself experiencing in not-so-distant future, you can know that this is ahead of time, that God is already there waiting on you. The footprints of his presence may not be unveiled before you, but they will unfold step by step as you choose to rest in the one who is waiting for you to call to him when you get there. The resources to meet your need for that place and time have been stored up in advance by your Heavenly Father. He plans ahead of time for your arrival, ensuring you will have everything you need. He's waiting on you to pray, not panic. I will bend the knee before God, not to my situation. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I hope you take those two small devotionals to heart, okay, and apply it to your life. Amen. All righty. Well, now let's get into the most important question of the day, and that is, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior? If you do not, that's okay, because in just a moment you will get a chance to. Well, let me ask you, are you tired of traveling this long, dusty road, never knowing where to go or which way is up or down? Or maybe you lack purpose in your life and you need some. Or maybe you suffer from depression or anxiety. Or maybe you suffer from something such more worse, like addiction to alcohol or drugs, sexual immorality, gambling, overeating. Whatever the problem may be, see, the Lord can take it away, but in order to do so, he's got to know you. So the question is, do you want to get to know the Lord Jesus? If so, simply say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, for too long I've kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking upon it. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. And I am so ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. So I want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross at Calvary for my sins and then rose from the dead on the third day. So once again, I want to thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true, so please come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior tonight. And we pray this in the mighty precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes, amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you said this prayer, we would like to say you're welcome to be in the family of God. We also want to say, may the Lord bless you, may he always keep you highly favored. Okay, and, you know, if you said this prayer, we would like you to call into area code 657-383-1487. That's area code 657-383-1487, and press the 1 key. When you press the 1 key, you'll come on live, and you can tell us that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. And because right now the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, all the angels, and all the people in heaven are rejoicing that you got saved tonight. So won't you let us rejoice with them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. That's a good question, Clement Benavidez. Okay, I play a variety of Christian contemporary music. Okay, I like to switch it up a bit. Okay, and play different types of Christian contemporary. As far as music being played, I try to play godly music, okay? Because godly music, okay, is what is needed on this podcast, okay? Versus secular music. Amen. All righty. Well, I'm going to bring Tony F., and he's going to read from us the Bible, okay? He does such a good reading, okay? And let's bring Tony F. in to read from the Bible. Let me bring it up for you. There you go.
Hi, y'all. Glad you're having me here again. Tonight all I'm going to say is I'm going to do a reading from the Bible for you, but I just want to remind you all that tonight cities all over the United States are being burned down. Police are being injured. The police are injuring people. Americans fighting Americans. Blacks, Mexicans, whites, all fighting for injustice. But we need to realize that, yes, the protests need to be said, they need to be done, but all the looting is just so people can steal. They're not doing it in the name of anybody, simply to steal and to rob. And that's all I'm going to say, but here at God Rainbow Ministries, our hearts go out to all of those affected by the protests. Now, Tonight I'll read from you from the Bible as it was written, as it was meant to be shared. Genesis, we'll go with this. This is the genealogy of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah as a wife, the daughter of Esau, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban the Syrian. Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah his wife conceived. But the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If all is well, why am I like this?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger." So when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red. He was like a hairy garment all over. So they called him Esau. Afterward, his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field. But Jacob was a mild man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate his game. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Now Jacob cooked the stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, "Please feed me with the same red stew, for I am weary." Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright as of this day." And Esau said, "Look, I am about to die, so what is this birthright to me?" Then Jacob said, "Swear to me as of this day." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose, went his way thus. Esau despised his birthright. There was a famine in the land, besides the first famine that there was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. And Then the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham, your father, and I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." So Isaac dwelt in Gerar, and the man of the place asked about his wife, and she said, "She is my sister," for he was afraid to say, "She is my wife," because he thought, "Lest the men of the place kill me for Rebekah, because she is beautiful to behold." Now it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, the king of the Philistines looked through the window and saw, and there was Isaac showing endearment to Rebekah his wife. Then Abimelech called Isaac and said, "Quite obviously she is your wife, so how could you say she is my sister?" Isaac said to him, "Because I said, lest I die on account of her." And Abimelech said, "What is this you have done to us? One of the people might soon have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt on us." So Abimelech charged all his people, saying, "He who touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death." Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous, for he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. Now the Philistines had stopped up all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, and they had filled him with earth. And Abimelech said to Isaac, why does this keep popping up? I got lost. And Abimelech said to Isaac, "Go away from us, for you are much mightier than we." Then Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. As Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines have stopped him up after the death of Abraham, he called them by the names which his father had called them. Also Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of running water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, "This water is ours." So he called the name of the well Esek, because they quarreled with him. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that one. So he called its name Sinneth. And he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called its name Rehoboth, because he said, "For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." Then he went up from there to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, "I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake." So he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord, and he pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants dug a well. Genesis 25, 19, 26, 25. Give you a word of wisdom from Psalms 7, 6, 8. "Arise, O Lord, in your anger. Lift yourself up because of the rage of my enemies. Rise up for me to the judgment. You have commanded, so the congregation of the people shall surround you. For their sakes, therefore, return on high. The Lord shall judge the peoples. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity within me." Sorry, I'm a little parched this evening. Oh, wait, where did I lost something here. Here we go. Now, my word of wisdom. Sorry, I'm having a little trouble with Ken's computer tonight. Words of wisdom, Proverbs 3, 7, 8. "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones." Amen.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to turn over back to Ken. Thank you for allowing me to be with you tonight, to share the Bible the way it was written, the way it was meant to be read, or at least shared. And I know he's getting ready to take calls, so bless him.
Amen. Well, thank you very much, Tony. It was a very blessed reading. All right. Well, I hope you're all blessed by that reading. Amen. Yeah, I'm going to take some calls. Okay. Let's see here. We got Doug. My brother Doug. How you doing, Doug? Hello, Doug, you there? Okay, I'll get back to him. 111, are you there?
Good evening, Dr. Fishman. This is Dr. Peter Paul Ventura from Terryville, Connecticut, Bible Believers Church. And I wanted to say that I approve of Tony F.'s message.
Thank you. Thank you. So how are you doing this evening?
I'm blessed. Thank you very much. The Lord is good. I wanted to let you know that Doug wasn't able to answer because him and I were conversing on the other line. I've been helping him with some social and emotional issues, and I think we've made headway. And I'm very proud to say that that he's came a long way.
Amen.
He's reached out to me several times to for his alcoholism and his addiction to porn and pedophilia, and I think we've found a cure or at least a restraint for now. So I'm very proud of Doug, as we all should be. You should be proud of Doug as well, as you've helped him in a major way.
Amen. Amen. All righty.
The fact that Tony F. is reading the Bible verse, is that going to be a consistent thing?
I'm going to try to keep that going, okay, until the whole Bible's read.
Well, that's a beautiful message. And when couples are united through the Lord, it is a beautiful thing. Your home, your residence will be blessed. So I applaud you.
Amen.
For that.
Thank you. Yes, we try to stay on the same page with God. Amen.
Amen. Amen to that.
Okay, I'm going to bring on Jessica. He's been waiting for quite a while. Hey, Jessica. How you doing tonight?
Hey. Doing great. It's great to talk to you all again, Kenny. It's great. You know, it seems like it's been forever.
Yeah, it has.
And what a treat. We have Dr. Peter Paul, we got Dr. Fishman, and we got Dr. Furtado. I mean, this is a real treat tonight. I love it.
Thank you, Dr. White.
Well,
sorry about that.
So, okay, we got to bring on another caller. He's been waiting a while. It's Doug. Okay, hey.
Doug,
hey,
please
Doug,
don't
how
mention
you doing?
Anything.
Hey, how are you?
Doug, please don't mention anything about our personal conversations.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Mr. Fake Peter Paul Venture.
Doug,
that's not nice.
Doug, we talked about this, and you can handle me. You don't need to go there, Doug. We made some headway, and you obviously picked up the bottle again right after we talked, and that's not good. So put it down, leave it alone.
Well, hey,
drink
maybe
cold
I just
water
feel
like
good. What about that? Huh,
well,
I
that's
feel
what
good.
Halle Berry said. That's what Halle Berry said in the movie Monster Ball, and look what happened to her. So that's not a good thing, Doug. You need to put the bottle
down. Oh, I never saw that movie, and hope I never do.
Well, she got
Dr.
entered
Peter
by,
Paul fakes her.
By Billy Bob Thornton. She got entered by Billy Bob
Fake
Thornton.
Sure.
So I don't.
J-Ro.
Basically, alcohol is entering
you. Oh, sorry.
Hey, Doug. Stop. Stop.
I didn't swear.
I know, but I'm just saying. This is trying to keep this godly. Okay, Dr. Peter Paul is keeping it godly. So, okay. You keep it godly as well, okay, and, okay, we'll go from there, okay?
I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was doing that.
Doug, if you don't keep it godly, Dr. Fishman will be forced to mute you to keep his show godly, so don't put him in that position. You've been warned.
Yeah. I've been muted before from a lot of shows. Thank you very much for the warning.
I'm going to keep you on, Doug. Okay, you know.
I didn't swear, Ken.
You haven't called in quite a while, and you just called in, and we're glad to have you. Okay? We're glad to have you on our program.
Okay. Absolutely. I agree with Dr. Fishman.
Amen.
All right. Amen. Well, we got another caller that's called in from 111. Okay, let's just see who this is. Okay. Hello, 111.
Hey, Ken. This is Mike Hunt, personal trainer.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. I could be doing better. There's lots of bad things that have happened on this lockdown since it all started. First of all, I've gotten fat. I've been so lazy on my ass I've sat. Uncle Tony had no TP and had to wipe his ass. He used his cat. The Joe Gibson show has sucked. He cries and whines like a brat. Jason is now back in jail. He hit a guy with a bat. And Doug, he has a new boyfriend. His name is Matt. Now, I'd like a prayer request for world peace, as we are all brothers under the name of God. but Doug is like a redheaded stepchild. So, Kenny, if we can all say a prayer for world peace, that would be great. Amen.
Amen, Mike. Okay, amen. Dear Lord, we come to you today, and we gather in the name of Jesus Christ, okay, that we can have world peace. And if people want to demonstrate, may they demonstrate peacefully and stop all the violence, okay? Okay, because you can't get anywhere with violence, okay? Okay, if you demonstrate peacefully, it is better, okay? So we pray for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
You're welcome, Mike. Okay. So, what else has been going on with everybody? Okay, anything new? Anything positive? Anything happened in your life recently? Whoever wants to speak first.
Well, Dr. Fishman, I moved to Terryville, Connecticut from Imperial Beach, California, and I'm currently attending Keeping Bible Believers Church going at Imperial Beach and Terryville, Connecticut. In Imperial Beach, we're doing it at our ministry there at our building, and I am doing services from my home via live feed. So I'm happy to say that. And Doug is a good participant, as always, and I've helped him in many ways, like I've mentioned before. Doug still is only drinking, but no longer into pedophilia, so that is huge for us. And I think that's a victory. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, Doug has left us. He has dropped. Okay? Okay, so it's just Jessica, you, and Mike on here. So, Jessica, what have you done? Anything positive this past week? Anything?
Not really. I've been like a fucking... flipping caveman I've been living, you know, just cooped up inside. It's tired of it. Be honest, it's boring. I can't do my regular routine. So, you know, what can you do?
You got one.
I mean, there is things that can be done, but that's all. I've been working on my golf game. Been working on my golf swing in the yard, you know, so. Been doing that, been busy with work. Luckily, that's been good. So, you know, whatever, I guess.
All right. And,
what about you, Kenny? What about you? What have you and Tony Furtado been doing? You've been, what have you been up to?
You know, staying safe from the coronavirus, okay? Even though our city has opened up, we're still kind of shutting ourselves in because we have a feeling it's going to peak again. We're just trying to play it safe and be safe, you know, wear masks and all that good stuff and preaching to folks, putting the good word out. So that's basically
we've been passing out Bibles to those in need.
We've passed out some Bible tracts, okay? I have some Bible tracts, okay? I don't really have a lot of Bibles anymore, so I'm passing out tracts.
Well, then can I do a quick plug for you? Anybody and everybody listening, it's $47.81 for a case of Bibles, and one of Kenny's ministries is passing out Bibles to those that are in need of the word and are less fortunate. So just want to go ahead and put that plug out there for Kenny.
Thank you, Ken. Okay. Well, Mike, what about you? Have you done anything interesting this week?
Not much. Just a couple of workouts. And actually, you know what? Been doing more cooking and eating than workouts. So I put on a little bit of weight, and I got to get back in the gym. But shout out to Mad Mark in the chat room. I actually made a big lasagna today and had about 2 plates of that. So I got an extra working out to do tomorrow. But, not much. It was nice to hear the Tony talk, or I should say hot talk with Tony Sex. I don't know if I can say that on here, but that's the name of the new show. And I just heard Jesco say he's working on his golf swing. You know, if Jesco... What would be funny is if he got good at bocce ball and challenge Uncle Tony to a bocce ball. I bet Jesco could beat him. I think that would be quite funny. But
I think me and Tony would make great bocce ball partners. I think we'd tear some stuff up.
That would be great. I bet they would. They could play for money. That'd be great. Absolutely. But and I'm sure Tony's glad. It seems like you guys are getting along. I mean, you didn't hit any golf balls in his front windows at his house. You know, you're doing it out on the lawn. You're being nice to Uncle Tony. I think that's great.
I just want to reiterate that you did call me Jesco Baby. So.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you did. I was
highlight
surprised.
Of my year.
Yeah, I was surprised.
That was a miracle.
Well,
I couldn't believe it. I was shocked.
Well, he knows, I think he realized that Dad was right about some things. So, you know, and really you got to think about it. You know, he admits when he's wrong, and he's like, hey, you know, I see somebody else's point of view. And that takes a big man, honestly.
That's right. Tony's come a long way in the last couple years. He actually listens to some of us. He didn't hire me as a personal trainer. He snubbed me, which I'm a little angry with him, but I'm glad he's exercising some. He's listening to Jesco. He calls Jesco Baby. He didn't really scream at him on the last call. He's listening. He's being polite. I think things are going pretty good for him right now.
Well, yeah, because think about it. Did you see how quickly, like, Donnie was his friend, they were such good friends, and the next thing you know, he was about to bust a cap in Tony's ass. You know what I mean? It just, like, immediately on a dime, like that. You know, and he even said it. Donnie even said it. He goes, you know, he said something like, I'm getting real niggerish. It's like, yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, your true loyalties came out. You know what I mean? It was... So anyways, it's very interesting. I think this is very eye-opening. It should be very eye-opening to people. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Well.
Yeah, we need more Jesco calls on the Tony Talk Show. That's for sure. It's nice to hear Jesco on there. And is Dr. Ventura still on the line, Dr. Fishman?
As far as I know.
What? Absolutely, I am on the line. I'm still on the line. I'm listening to what you are saying, and I think beautiful words have been spoken. Congratulations, Dr. White, on being called Jesco Baby. If that is a step in the right direction to heal the wounds, to heal the fence, to mend broken fences between. Dr. Gagardo and yourself.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I was reading an article that the COVID-19 symptoms And it's a contradicting article. I've read two different sources that on one of them it says that erectile dysfunction is a symptom, and another it's several erections a day. So I'm not sure which way to go with that, and I'm worried about myself. Have you suffered from any of the aforementioned, Dr. Fishman?
Well, yes, I have suffered from ED, but it's due to my diabetes, okay? I have diabetes and neuropathy in my feet and hands, okay? And I recently acquired diabetes, okay? I never was a diabetic until I turned 55, okay? So I've been dealing with that for the last 3 years, okay? So, yeah, it's not pleasant, ED.
Well, I was a little worried because I've had an erection for over 3.5 days now. At first, I thought it was from because of where I live in the I'm actually close to a high school where several people come and run track and I try not to walk out because of my previous felonies that I've had. So I can't be out and about. I am a registered offender, and it worries me to be walking around close to high school with this massive erection. So I can't even go shopping around. Thank good school's not in session. Otherwise, I'd be prone to come across a teenage girl, and that would not end well for either one of us. I'd probably
no, well, you wouldn't.
Right, and really, it's not, no fault of mine. Yes, no fault of them. I'd have to. I don't know. I'm confused right now. I'm really confused. I don't know what to do with this. I don't know if I'm suffering from COVID-19, but I don't have any other symptoms. I don't have shortness of breath. I'm not coughing. I don't have a fever, but like I said, now it's 4 days and tomorrow there's no sign of my erection going down. So it's, I'm worried. I haven't taken Viagra or anything like that. So I don't know what it is. Maybe I need to stop looking out the window and stop watching the joggers. I don't know. I just can't help myself sometimes. And that's what I was commenting with Doug, but I think he was getting a little too excited from when I was talking about my problems. And I don't know, Dr. Fishman, we have to help him. I can restrain myself because I haven't been outside the house, but I hope no one comes knocking at my door. Lead us not into temptation.
Right.
Dr. Fishman.
Lord, deliver us from evil. Amen.
Dr. White, do you have any suggestions to keep me from taking a knife to a teenage girl's neck? I don't know if that will make my erection go last longer or end it to get over the to satisfy my sexual desires.
I don't think you need to do that because you'll go back into the prison system, and I don't think you want to do that after all the good work you've been doing.
I appreciate your good advice.
The way I see it, Dr. Peter Paul, Dr. Ventura, out of sight, out of mind. You know what I mean? So that's one of the benefits of this whole friggin' quarantine. We're quarantining people that ain't even sick, so it's not a quarantine, it's something else. They shouldn't call it a quarantine. But anyways, out of sight, out of mind. So
you know, that's a good thing. That's what you need to shoot for. So that's what I'd suggest.
I think that's a good point. I just wanted to briefly tell you, Dr. Ventura, Jesco had a good point with the out of sight, out of mind. A similar thing came to mind. We had a gentleman named Frank the janitor that used to work at, I believe it was Timothy Bible College, and would see some of the youngsters and would get quite erect, and they would last all day. And he found himself, I believe he had to end up, I don't know if he was fired or left, but I out of sight, out of mind. And I think his erection went down. You just can't be overstimulated. You've got to get your mind somewhere else and go with it that way.
So by out of sight, out of mind, do you mean nobody asks, I won't tell, so just go ahead and comply with my sexual desires, or are you saying that I should quarantine myself with my erection?
Could go a little bit of each way. I mean, I think Frank the janitor used to peep through the hole in the boys' bathroom and watch them and do whatever, and then he also said he picked up some of their underwears on the ground and smelled them, and then he went home. So I'm not condoning that behavior whatsoever, but I'm saying whatever floats your boat, you might have to give in to temptation a little bit. Try not to sin. This is a godly show, but abstaining could be a one way to go, and out of sight, out of mind, hey, maybe you go in, you watch a movie, something totally unrelated, to get your mind in a healthier direction.
Yeah, out of sight, out of mind.
I appreciate the good advice from Dr. Fishman, Dr. White, and Dr. Hunt. The I think I'm going to reach out to my good friend Joey Gibson and see if himself and Bridget want to do some role play, and maybe that's the only way to calm this down. I could probably dress either Joseph or Bridget in a schoolgirl outfit and maybe hold a knife to their neck. And that, I guess, would be legal because they are of age. Problem is that I think Joseph would actually enjoy it more than Bridget. And I'm not sure if you guys are aware or not aware of this, but they are no longer together, and I am counseling both of them. But I don't think Joseph wants to get back together. He's more into the gay black scene.
Well, how is he doing with his kids, trying to get his kids back?
He's trying to get them back. We're successful in communication now. We're trying to do arbitration, just trying to keep the lawyers out of it. But right now, Bridget was living at a shelter, and now she's with a relative with the kids. My good friend Joseph wants nothing to do with one of the kids, but that's neither here nor there. Joseph agreed to accept Bridget back if he's allowed to carry on with Tyrone, but Tyrone is more interested in Bridget now. And Joseph has asked that they end that relationship. And I'm sorry, it's Tyrone is the last name. It's I have the paperwork right here. It's Jerome Tyrone Johnson, middle name Big. Jerome Tyrone Big Johnson. That's the gentleman. That's a love quarrel, and but. I just hope they come to resolution soon.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Because we knew the wife had took the kids, and so we were just curious how that was going. And we're going to say God bless him and his family, yes, of course. Okay. I know he's going through a rough patch right now, and we want to say God bless Joe and his family.
Amen to that. And I want to send a I want to reach out to and just say, you know, everyone that's been understanding to Joseph's needs. He's gotten a lot of support from various people, and we want to thank him for that. Thank everyone that's been trying to help him. Dr. Fishman, I've received an email, I believe, from what I think is a malicious email from someone who claims to be a talking horse that says he's acquainted with you, and I can tell that is not real, and I want to put that out in the open, that shame on that person for trying to ridicule me, for trying to send me an email pretending to be a horse and left me a voice message as well. So I'm
very
upset at that.
That's supposed to be pretending to be Dominguez the horse. Yeah.
That's correct. Are you acquainted with him?
No, I don't know who he is. I've never met him. Okay. I have put up with his malarkey, okay, on Discord, but we're not gonna go down this road, okay? It's we don't have to. He's a silly individual, okay? So anyway,
absolutely, we don't have to put up with his, what you call his malarkey, because that what he says and claims is offensive, should not be repeated. And it's just baffling to me that he would say, do, claim, speak, leave me a voice message, and send me an email regarding the things that he says he's done and people have done to him. I mean,
he's crazy in the head, okay? If he thinks he's a horse, I mean, come on. Okay? All right? So anyway,
thank you, Dr. Fishman, for clearing that up, clearing the air, and agreeing with me.
Yeah. We're getting down to nitty gritty in time, so I want to say thank you to all my callers and all my listeners in the chat room. Okay, may God bless you, may He keep you highly favored. And don't forget tomorrow night, okay, I'll be doing another show, Purpose Gospel Radio. And thanks, everybody, for keeping it godly, okay? We had a good show tonight, okay?
I'll try to call in tomorrow, Dr. Fishman, and I just want to say that my name is Dr. Peter Paul Ventura from Terryville, Connecticut, and I approve Dr. Fishman's message.
Well, thank
you. And Dr. White and Dr. Hunt. And is your better half, does he have a doctorate of some sort?
No, he doesn't. But he has been to college. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah. But he's very knowledgeable in the Bible.
Well, God, amen. God bless.
Amen. And don't forget, okay, this is Pride Week, okay? So happy Pride Week.
Well, it's actually Pride Month. Pride Month.
Well,
correct?
Yeah, but they celebrate it usually within the week, okay? But it's Pride Month.
Well, I want to congratulate and felicitate and send a shout out to any and all homosexuals and anyone from the LGBTQ community. And God bless you, especially good friend.
Joseph.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Joseph Gibson. Absolutely. Joseph Gibson. Go ahead, Dr. White.
That's what I was going to say. Let's all wish Joey a happy Pride Month.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Well,
it is right and just to do so.
Okay.
And for Tom, right. Happy Asshole AIDS Month.
Is Joe Gibson on the line? Is he calling in?
No, he isn't.
He's in the chat room. Joey, call in.
Yeah.
Might as well say hello. Let's see what's going on with him.
Joe's scared.
Hey, Joe, how you doing, Joe?
Joey, baby.
Okay. Well, anyway, listen, I'm going to say good night to everybody. God bless. Have a wonderful night. Okay, and hope you join me again tomorrow night. God bless you all.
Dr. Fishman, can I say something really quick? I promised Joseph I would do this. He set up a GoFundMe for himself to rescue his kids, and I just wanted to make everyone aware of that. I forgot to mention that earlier, so we need to support Joseph, but at the same time, we need to make sure that we support Bridget as well. It's more for counseling. Before it was for the lawyer activity, but now it's going to be for counseling, for him to get and I quote, "I swore when I would date or become involved or married, I would never ever raise my hands to the woman." Joseph Gibson needs your support to rescue my two sons, et cetera, et cetera. I just want to, please let's support Brother Joseph.
Amen.
This is Dr. Peter Pulventura, and I approve that message.
Amen. God bless
Amen.
You.
Thank you, Dr. Ventura.
You're very welcome, Dr. White and Dr. Hunt.
Thank you.
Oh, hey, wait a minute. Joe pressed the one key. Let's bring him on.
Yeah, how you doing?
How you doing, Joe?
It's
Where
great
you been?
To hear
Where you been
from
hiding?
Buddy.
Long time no
buddy,
hear.
I haven't heard you. Oh, okay. Well, you're not out there with these crazy people burning everything down, are you?
No. I don't do that kind of thing.
I bet you were, you moon bat.
No, actually, I've been staying home like a good guy, you know. I've been up just watching it on TV. You know, I don't have no part of it. No part of it. I'm not burning down people's businesses. No, thank you. My name's already Mud. You know, my radio show is in the courthouses. I mean, you know, it's. What am I going to do? You know,
your radio show is in the courthouses.
Yeah, they brought that up in the custody hearing, and you know, they said, you know, I'm anti-government. I don't respect law enforcement. So therefore, I'm vulgar. They didn't call me unfit. They didn't say I was unfit. They said I'm vulgar. So they said, you're not allowed to see your children. That's what they told me. No life.
Because
of
your program?
What's that?
Because of your podcast?
Well, yeah, well, I see. I did a show the night before. And, you know, about my son, when he was, you know, where he got brought to this place, you know, by his mom against his will. And he wants to come home. He wants to come home with me, you know. I mean, the kid's old enough to choose his own way. Well, they brought him into chambers or whatever. And, oh, he just talked too good and highly of me, and they didn't like that. And they said he's too impressionable. And of course, I have contacts around the country, so I can hide underground, they said. If I could take off. I could take off even back to Connecticut, they said. So it's best we just wait. And they want to wait for the hearing. Yeah, don't go lie. It's a true story.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm praying for you, Joe. That you get your kids back.
Yeah. Prayer is good.
Yes,
prayer is good.
Absolutely.
Prayer is good.
We're all praying for you. Praying for you. And you're more than welcome to come here to Terryville, Connecticut, with me.
Terryville. You don't live in Terryville. Where are you getting Terryville from?
Joe, that's where he lives. He has to report where he lives, Joe.
No,
you know
he doesn't live in Terryville. There's no Terryville is just a district anyway. It's not even a town.
Well, he has to report where he lives. He has to register, Dr. Gibson.
Absolutely.
But
So where did he register at? He didn't register in Terryville. I know he didn't.
Dr. Yeah, Gibson, you know where I registered.
If you say so. What the hell is a Terryville? What is a Terryville? What the heck? It sounds like freaking a bunch of women that are whores named Terry.
It's a town. It's a town in Connecticut where the sexual predator, Dr. Ventura, has registered. Right?
Absolutely.
He's not hiding.
438 South Main Street.
This.
Well, I don't know about that.
White
guy. I don't know.
When he's not even trying to hide his, you know.
I'm not too sure about that, but, you know, I mean, he's kind of did his time anyway. I think he cleared that up on the radio show. I mean, the judge sentenced him to 20-something years. He did it, and he's out. That's it. I don't think anybody should be knocking him for what he
right.
did. I mean,
did you
steal a candy bar? Maybe I believe you should be punished for the rest of your life for stealing a candy bar, so I should call you a thief? You know? I mean, come on.
So so you're saying that stealing the candy bar is the same as raping a child? Is that the same?
Sin is a sin.
Yeah, in God's eyes, there's no difference, but in man's eyes, there is a difference.
Well, that's why we create laws then. That's why he was punished under the law. He was punished under the law, 27 years, right? He was punished under the law.
Right.
So therefore, he's free to go.
He should have been put
and let
to
the
death.
Punishment fit the crime.
Yeah, but who decides that?
Sorry, Dr.
Well, then write your legislator.
Well,
hey, look, in some state, in California, you know, if they want to kill sexual predators and give them a death penalty, I say go ahead.
Oh, yeah, let me fix this injustice for you right away, sir, right away. You're one of the fucking constituents, and you, yeah, let me fix this for you right away.
Yeah.
Well, what would you rather do? What do you want to do? So you're just going to have a mob justice? So you decide. You decide who gets the penalty.
And see where that gets you. Get a big old fucking cock up your ass. Is all it's going
to
do.
Oh, so wait a second. What if I don't like homosexuals? I say they need to be put to death. And then I got 10 other people behind me that say that. Would you agree with that? No. So you can't just pick and choose what you want.
I kind of would.
Absolutely, Dr. Gibson. Thank you for supporting me. I agree that forcible underage rape is the same as stealing a candy bar. A sin is a sin. I paid my debt to society, so it's all in well. Okay.
You did pay your debt to society. That's the most one truthful thing you just said right there. You did pay your debt,
not
and
to
you're
mention,
free to go.
Not to mention of the three teenage girls that I raped and held a knife to, one of them actually asked for it, and the other might, I think she enjoyed it. So the third, I don't know.
Well, some women do. You never know. Some women do now. You never know. I mean, you got those whores in Hollywood. They like it, you know. So you never know.
Yes, absolutely.
You never know. You never know. I don't know.
Let the punishment be the crime.
I've never raped a woman, so I don't know.
Yes, well, it was role-playing with Bridget, so absolutely.
Yeah, well, that's fair. But no, we never played like that either, so, you know, but like I said.
So you
allowed
Dr. Ventura in the bedroom with you and Bridget? That's kind of kinky. Actually,
but me and Bridget, no, fine, man. I'll support rape, obviously.
We're going to talk about sexual encounter that we might have later on, but that's Joseph. You can call me after this, after we hang up, or I'll call you directly. We can, I don't know, talk about and do the role playing that, you know, maybe bring Jerome in on it.
Pretty ridiculous.
Okay,
absolutely.
Well, listen, I gotta say goodbye, everybody.
Yeah, you're in overtime.
Yeah, I'm in overtime.
Jerome Ben Dawson.
All right.
This is Dr. Peter Paul Ventura, and I approve this message.
Thank you, Colin, for calling in, Joe.
Yes, okay. Joseph, thank you. And Dr. Gibson, Dr. White, Dr. Hunt, and Dr. Fishman. This is Dr. Peter Paul Ventura from Terryville, Connecticut, signing off.
Amen. God bless you, Dr. Peter Paul. Okay.
God bless, and I approve this message. Amen.
Amen.
Joseph, when's your next show, brother?
Young Up.